The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of this I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, for he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. The gospel today began with the description of a man who met Jesus. And Mark the evangelist described the man as running up and kneeling down before Jesus. A man ran up and knelt down before him. There was a sense of urgency on the part of the man who wanted to talk to Jesus. He ran, making sure that he really had this encounter with him. And he asked him the question of all questions. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It was a very important question, the question of all questions. The guy was really serious in pursuing the ways of God. He was probably a very devout Jew during the time of Jesus, and he wanted to do things right. So he asked the most important question to Jesus, because he probably heard about Jesus already from the nearby towns. He probably heard about the healings that Jesus performed, and Jesus preaching about the ways of the kingdom So he came to him and asked him, Lord, what do I need to do? This story is also found in the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew described the man in his version as a rich young man. Rich young man. And the guy was not just rich because he had many possessions, not just because he had a lot of things under his name, but also he was young. He was young, he was in his prime, so that was considered to be also a wealth. But also, he was able to ask and ponder the most important things. You can say that this guy is the epitome, is the model of a successful man. But did he really get it right? Jesus answered him, you know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. He enumerated to the man who was asking the question, the traditional teaching in the Judaic religion during that time. That if you want to go to heaven, the commandments are the GPS. The commandments are the GPS. And Jesus, being a good Jew, reinforced this and say, you know what had been taught to us from the very beginning? If you want to reach eternal life, the commandments are there as guides to help us. Jesus was not debunking, you know, was not dismissing the traditional way of deepening one's relationship with God. Because we know that commandments are not just exterior laws imposed upon us, but rather, if we truly believe that the commandments are summarized in one word, which is the commandment of love, and the other name for God is love, so whenever we follow the commandments, we actually live in the heart of God. And if we are created in the image and likeness of God who is love, then whenever we follow the commandments, we are just being true to who we are. We are seeing a reflection of our very selves. So Jesus reinforced that by saying, you know that the commandments are more than enough, are ways for us to be able to deepen that relationship. And the guy said, well, that's peanuts. I had been doing it since my youth. I have been following the commandments. And Jesus said to him, you are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. And we were told that at that statement, the man's face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. What was lacking in the man in the gospel today is his resolve to put God as his priority. Jesus was not asking him to give up everything, but rather to make use of what he has in the advancement of the kingdom. And if he truly embraced the spirit of the commandments should actually instill in us a greater detachment for the worldly things and a greater attachment to the ways of God. And we see that in here, that was not the case. But rather, the young man just thought, I just want to have eternal life as an add-on to whatever I have now. But he was not convinced that eternal life is the most important thing that he needs to pursue. He did not have possessions, but rather his possessions possess him. his possessions possess him. He knew the right questions to ask, but he did not have enough will. He did not have enough resolve to pursue the right answers to his questions. You know, this happens to us in one way or another. You know, I know that in order for me to deepen my relationship with God, in order for me to seriously work for eternal life, that I have to be less judgmental of people. I know that deep within my heart. But why do I always fall on this temptation over and over again? But I know that if I want to, I want to be with God in heaven, that I just have to do something about it. But why do I always fall to the same thing over and over again? I know that prioritizing my prayer life is key for my deepening of my relationship with Him. But why do I always fall on not making it as a priority and putting other things as a priority? I know what to do in my head. I know what to do in my head, but it doesn't always translate to my own actions. And this is actually what was missing here with a young man in the gospel. He knew what to do, but he did not have the resolve or the will to pursue what needs to be done. That is why in the first reading from today, we were told that we need to pursue the spirit of wisdom and prudence. Wisdom said, I preferred prudence and wisdom. I preferred her to scepter and throne, and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her. Nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold in view of her is a little sand. All gold is a little sand compared to the values of the kingdom. You know, I ask myself, how convinced I am really of this? Looking at the priorities right now in my life, what is at the very top priority? And if God is not in there, then that's my God. If God is not the first priority, then whatever it is, if it's money, fame, health, human relationships, then I make God out of them. And the thing is, I realize that if I do that, I am actually shortchanging myself. I am setting the bar too low, because I know that these things are not forever. These things, no matter how good they are, no matter how excellent they are, no matter how much joy they bring to my soul, in the end, they will not gonna be there forever. So why set the bar too low? If we work too hard already to maintain all the wonderful relationships that we have because they are so good and they make us a better person, and if all of these things that we pursue, worthy goals, make our lives happier, why not pursue that person, eternal life, Jesus, that most important treasure that would assure us of lasting happiness, that would assure us of eternity? Why shortchange ourselves? That's the question. That's the question that I ask myself, you know, whenever I feel like, oh, okay, I need to reorganize my priorities again. What are the things in our lives right now that hinder us to truly give our 100% to Jesus, to God? The man left the conversation, left Jesus sad, for he had many possessions. the very thing that he considered most important actually made him sad. Actually made him sad. How many times we sometimes think that once we reach one goal, that's gonna make us happy already. I was watching a video with a group, and it talks about destination happiness, you know, the destination prediction. That we think that we were gonna be happy when we reach whatever goal we have, and then when we reach that goal, we realize, is this it? Why am I not happy? And then we go from one goal to the other goal. And then we think, oh, when I reach that goal, I'm gonna be fulfilled. And then when we reach that, whatever we're trying to achieve, we still feel the same or even worse than before. And then we go from one goal to the other and the other and the other until we realize, as what Saint Augustine says, that our hearts are restless until it rests on the Lord. Because ultimately, it is only in Christ where we will find the truest riches and the ultimate treasure. One of the things that caught my attention as a final remark here is the question of Peter to Jesus. Lord, what about us? We have given up everything to you. Are you not just going to give us a slack in on this? Just give us the kingdom. Just give us eternal life. You know, we have given up everything to you. There should be some sort of reward to this. We should not be working as hard as the others because we gave up everything to you. You know, sometimes I could hear Peter in myself. It's like, okay, Lord, I gave up my life to you. I became a priest. Can you just, you know, overlook all the other things that I struggle? You know, can you give me a little bit of accommodation here, a special treatment, you know? You should not be expecting too much from me because I already gave up my life to you. Can you give me a little bit of slack here? Well, the kingdom of God is not a bargaining kind of transaction. It's not a bargaining type of transaction. We give up for the Lord not because we want to attain something, but because we are convinced of the relationship. Even if there's no eternal life, which is not the case, there is eternal life. The fact that it is God who is inviting us, it's worth giving up everything to Him. We don't give up because there is a price in the end. We give up because we are convinced of His calling us into a deeper relationship. It is not because, you know, Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus said, it is not because of heaven or hell that makes me love you all the more, but it is because you, as love, asking me to enter into this relationship with you that I want to fall in love with you more. You know, how liberating is that? To give up something for the Lord, not because of any price. There is a price, heaven. But hopefully, we're not just giving up things and we're not just prioritizing things because of that, but because we are truly convinced of who is the one calling us into a deeper relationship. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you're not thinking so much of what the person can give you in the end. You're just doing things because you love. You're just doing things because you're convinced of who that person to you. This just reminds me one, okay, I already said final remark, but this is the final remark. This just reminds me of, you know, talking about love that makes us sacrifice, to surrender everything to the one that we love. I remember a person that was talking with that person, and His wife that time was already suffering from severe dementia. He moved closer to the facility where his wife was so that he could visit her every single day. And he would visit every single day. And some of the nurses asked him, "Why do you visit your wife every single day? She doesn't remember you. What's the use of it? You know, she doesn't remember you." Sometimes she would even react, you know, scared to his presence. And you know what he said? "Yes, she doesn't remember me. And she doesn't know who I am. But I know who she is. And who is she to me?" There's no reward for him in the end. Sometimes it's probably a struggle because it's like, you know, seeing how difficult the situation is. But because he is convinced of who she is, that she stays, that he stays. That's what it is, guys, to be in relationship with God. Yes, there is a price, but we don't stay for the price. We stay because we're convinced of who that person calling us into a deeper relationship. Let's fall in love with God all the more. You know, the more you fall in love with Him, it's the most freeing and liberating thing. And there's no greater joy. In the end, we will have everything. Anyway, everything that we have comes from Him.